Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am here today with Brandon Brown. That is one of those songs that we found love, by Rihanna. I never got sick of. That's going on 11 years old. I think it came out in like 2000.
It's been like my favorite song for 11 years. But I think it's like, I like that song because it's an incredibly Christian message, right? We found love in a hopeless place. Mm-hmm. So one time for a camp I was doing, I made this videographer I had cut it to all these scenes of the Passion of the Christ to that song. And he's like, the song's too poppy. I'm like, I don't care, just do it. And it works perfectly. So like all the kids that are young in there are like all like, oh, that's it, we found love in this hopeless place, right? And then like all the adults are just like, that's so wrong.
Especially because the actual the music video for it is like very Rihanna, and that like she's like sucking down cigarettes, and like it's like kind of like this like mosh pit of bodies, like, yeah. And very sexually so you tilted.
Your Catholic Jesus doesn't go in that space. It doesn't work.
No, I mean, I do. But so I wanted to, I'm gonna stay with me on this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But so Mike Gallagher, congressman from the Green Bay area in Wisconsin, out of the five Republican congressmen that from Wisconsin last week, four of them voted no against the Marriage Equality Act. And his reason was because he is very concerned about polygamy. And my thought, because I don't know about you, but I just finished binging Keep Sweet, Obey and Pray, the docuseries on Netflix about the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints from the early 2000s. Oh. And I'm wondering if Mike Gallagher also watched this docuseries, and that's why like polygamy is like so on like the front of his brain right now. Be like, no. This other thing, this like gay thing, like that's the fact that Obergefell, the likelihood of that falling is much more unlikely, right, than polygamy.
Right. I have so many thoughts in my head that it's hard to pull them out.
Okay.
It's like on the one hand, I think that probably it's not even real, right? He probably throws out a slippery slope argument because evangelicals will immediately...
I'm surprised he didn't say bestiality. Right, like, well, that was always the thing,
They got to save something. They got to save a nuclear option just in case, like, it keeps going. And then another part of me thinks that it's like the association, like marketing, right? So like he wants to continue to say other things that are worse associated with when he says, sometimes when a politician will say, you know, gay marriage or whatever, then they're going to also say and bestiality, even though they have nothing to do with each other, because they're just trying to get you to associate those two things in your mind so that later when it gets picked up by a national news source that is very conservative, they can like play the clip in such a way that it programs people's mind that those two things go together, right? This is like getting your dog to salivate by giving them treats and stuff like that.
Oh my God. Well, so besides his kind of BS response to why he voted no, right, against this, have you watched this documentary?
I haven't.
You know what I'm talking about.
You're talking about. I'm familiar with it. I haven't watched it. I tend to not watch very many religious documentaries because like, I know that, like, that's, yeah, like a little too close to home. Like it's, it hits like, and I turn it on and I start to feel like I can feel it like closing in on me, like suffocating. I'm like, okay, I know it. I see it. It's real. Just, they should have like the executive summary at the top of it. Like, if you're traumatized, yeah, send your check.
Trigger warning.
Send your check here. Just skip the whole thing and send your money to the agency that's going to make it better.
Yeah, to these people who got out.
Right.
Because I obviously, the years of Warren Jeffs being the head of FLDS, was, I would have been like 15, 16. So I feel like I remember hearing some things about, mm-hmm, you know, child brides and the like pink, like the pastel array of fully covered dresses that the women wore. But now being like a full-fledged adult and rewatching it or watching it in totality of what that story was, it was insane. It's like horrific as far as the groupthink and cult-like what they did to the women, to the entire community. Because it wasn't just, and it never is just women, right? It's the men who get kicked out, or because they're not falling in line. It goes back to what we were saying before. It was just control. And I think, you know, in your own description, growing up cult adjacent.
Yeah.
And so, like, what in your definition is the difference between a cult, being cult adjacent, or, you know, just being really excited about, like, being wanting to be involved?
Right. So there's a tremendous amount of benefits that come from being part of a religious organization, right? It's like you, and a lot of them aren't just spiritual. Like if you get part of a church that has all kinds of programs going on, you go from being like socially disconnected to being part of the fabric of something where you're, it's almost like, you know, people would describe it as their family, right? This mm-hmm. is my, I have my bio family and then I have my faith family. And that's, and it's like, you're instantly thrown into this tapestry of fabric where if you can play your role right, if you can stay within the confines of the, you know, the piece of fabric, and you're immediately connected to a social fabric that has people that want to hang out with you and people that will listen to if you need money. There's all kinds of things that all of a sudden you can get if you can stay, you know, woven in the right way. So I think that there's a real healthy part of that. The same way it'd be healthy in a community. Like I live in East Tosa, and in East Tosa, it's an amazing community, right? Mm-hmm. This, you know, we talk to our neighbors, we walk our dogs together, we see each other. Like there's a sense of which it really feels like you're part of something bigger than yourself. So I think that's really good. But you can also see kind of immediately how that can go wrong, because if you know that in order to, you know, continue to receive these benefits, I have to perform a certain role, then it's in your best interest to not pay attention to things that might cause you to stray. Right, because you want to continue to have your friend. A great example of this is, like, you know, if you're Catholic or evangelical, you all know somebody who strayed too far, and like the way that your family members talk about them at the picnic or at the, you know, the when you get together and they talk about Uncle Tom or whoever that was, like, you know, had done something terrible, like vote for Democrats or move to California or something, like, you know, something really wretched. And I think that you hear those scripts being talked about, you hear people saying these bad things about other people, so you know that if the minute that you stray from your role, they're going to talk that way about you. But if I can just perform my role well and stay kind of in the, then I get all these benefits. I'll get social connections, friends, people that care about me, resources. So I think that that's the kind of the lure of it. That's why people sign up for it. And then over time, they just don't realize how much they've given away. It's like an abusive relationship in that sense, right? Like you get into it and keep making excuses for why you're going to stay in this codependent relationship.
So you think it's more about, it's not actually the faith in the fundamental belief of what is being taught that keeps people. You think it's more of the fear of being ostracized from everything that you know.
I think that's both, because I think they're connected, right? So like my ability to believe these things makes me part of this community. So if I continue to believe these things, then I continue to be part of this community. And if I stop believing them, then I'm not. So like it's, and the community manifests that this is a way in which it feels real. So like there's a guy that was this old preacher in Milwaukee. And when he would come and preach at this church, it wasn't just that people loved, then he would come back after he retired and people would have this, just like their eyes would start glowing, right? They're so excited to see him. And it was his preaching took you back to 1970, 1980 in a way that it triggered this nostalgia response where these people were like, it's almost like they didn't walk out loving the sermon. They walked out that they felt like they'd reconnected with the 70s and 80s in a way that was so meaningful to them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I think that the same thing is what I'm saying here, that those beliefs are creating the fabric of that community, so that it's not that, you know, people think it's about the belief, but it's actually also about this family connection, these communities, these relationships that you just can't imagine your life without.
Interesting. So when you said cult adjacent,
yeah,
what does that mean?
So when you tell the story of this polygamous guy and, you know, the giant polygamy cult, right? My church is growing up would have pointed to that and been like, well, that's a cult, right? We're not a cult. That's a cult, right? That's what a cult is. But the mechanisms of that cult are the same mechanisms that were being used to control my community too. We just weren't into polygamy, right? So we were into stuff that was more socially acceptable.
Or child brides, not into it? Okay.
Mostly not.
Mostly not?
For the most part.
Well, that was what was fascinating, because one of the things that they said in the documentary, which you, without my prompting, mentioned in the first hour, was one of the tactics that they would use is the young, like, prepubescent, like 13, 14, 15-year-old girls who were a little too independent.
Right.
And a little too headstrong. Those were the ones that they would immediately start to, they would do an arranged marriage, because the idea was you get her married, you get her pregnant, and she won't be as independent.
Yeah.
And so, they said, and you basically said almost the exact same thing not even an hour ago. And so when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yep. And I think that's for sure true. The other thing that they do is, so in evangelical churches, they get up and they say, hey, we're gonna have a really important business meeting next week, so we need all the men to come, and they give the time that they're supposed to come. And they say, and then we need women, you guys make the best pies. We need you to come with your pies. So they've just essentially, without saying, hey, we don't think women should teach, or we don't think women have a voice, they've said, men, come and be ready with your opinions, bring your ideas, be ready to really get into this, and women, bring your pies. And if you hear enough things like that, these kind of microaggressions where you're reinforcing what a woman's role is, and let's say then the wife says, I'm going to do that, I'm going to bring my daughter to me, me and my daughter are going to make the pies, right? You have that happen enough, and you've enforced, without ever saying, hey, women are second class, you've laid out what women are supposed to do, right? The role, the script that they're supposed to play. And they learn that script internally. So like when growing up, when my family would have like a big family reunion, all my cousins are there, the matriarchs of my family, I could hear them at the kitchen table talking, right? So I'm like a 10 years old at this point. And whenever one of my cousins would bring a girl over, the measure of whether that girl was a good girl or not was whether she jumped in right away and helped with the dishes. Like, never heard that from a boyfriend, right? It was never like, oh, the boyfriend jumped in, right? It was like, he's out playing football, doing whatever. Like, my own cousins that are male, they weren't doing the dishes, right? But the women were supposed to immediately jump into that women role. That's how they identified themselves as a good member, a good person to marry, because they knew their role, right? Well, what was their role? Well, their role was to be the homemaker for this man as he does his thing, as he has his career, as he, you know, lives his life as a man. She's supposed to be the certain, the way that you identify yourself as a good member of that is that you're able to enact the role by doing the dishes, and maybe you brought something that was tasty to eat, and maybe it wasn't even tasty, but you put some effort into it, right? Like you've shown that you want to play that role, so you're good.
Is there any evangelical female pastors?
There are. So some evangelical churches, there's a whole range, right? It's a spectrum. Okay. So
we got to go to a break, but I was just interested in, like, if that's even a thing, because there's certainly no priests that are women.
They get around it, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take another break, and then we come back. We'll still be with Brandon Brown. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I was standing side by side as a shadow.